The Vox Markets Podcast.
It's 12 o'clock. Welcome to Taking Stock. It is the 4th of December, 2024. Welcome along. Don't forget, subscribe if you haven't subscribed. I know who you are. And hit that like button if you could. And share with everyone, all and sundry. And I want to ask you, I've just been on with Paul Hill. We talked about our stock picks or some stocks we'd like for 2024. So I want you to tell me, what are you invested in? What do you think is going to do very well this year in 2024? And in fact, El Saint is straight in there. Thanks for the comment there, El Saint. It says, Heffy, I also want a reason, okay? So not just a ticker, give us a reason. Supermono, 2024 will be a good year. I see what you're doing there. That's, of course, good energy. It's done very well. I think there's more to come there. But let me know, what's your picks? 2024, I want a ticker and a reason. Okay, it doesn't have to be a long reason. It doesn't have to be, you know, growth, value, health, efficiency, all that kind of stuff. It can just be a reason why you think it will do well in 2024. Okay, let's just check out the markets here. By the way, we are looking to get on some more guests in the year. That's coming through. Next, standout there. It is sort of bellwether. They beat expectations, upped guidance as well. It's very good company. In fact, you know, someone did ask me where these shirts are from. And I think they're from Next. And that's the thing, isn't it? They're reliable Next, you know? They've always got the stuff you want. Doing very well. Anyway, FTSE up 0.051%. God, look at that. They are literally wafer thin gains. As I speak, it's down a little bit, 0.04%. But it's all green. But look at the AIM All share. What is that? 1 point up? It's 0.01% up to 754. I said some of the rises on the FTSE 100 are Next, Beazley, BP, Rentokil, BA Systems, Anglo American, WPP, Shell. WPP is interesting because, of course, that's advertising. I just look at the chart, by the way. Sorry, looking at one of my picks I mentioned, I think it's going to do very well in 2024, is Intelligent Ultrasound. I think the market has missed this. A lot of people are not into this, but it's growing very quickly. You know, one of the biggest manufacturers of ultrasound systems use their systems, and their growth forecast is very impressive. But WPP, of course, you know, it's been hammered due to advertising. And look at that. But is it rallying? That's interesting there. Because once that turns, they are a sort of bellwether. You know, the advertising stocks, I think, are bellwether on the industry and the markets going forward. Because once they turn, I mean, we've had house builders turn already. I mean, if you see house builders, you know, like I said, I was chatting earlier, I think they've had a very good rally now. You know, the time to buy these was when there were blood in the streets. That was down here, basically, back in November 2022. You're a brave person if you bought then. But look at that. I mean, Taylor Wimpey has done from the low there. It's done. Who says elephants can't gallop? 85% up, pretty much. 80% up on Taylor Wimpey. And they pay a dividend, you know. No debt. Clean, healthy balance sheet. But like you say, you know, when... What's the saying? When it was going to... You're going to head in a handcart, you know, when everyone's really bearish on the house builders, that was when to get in. So other sectors you think have been, you know, overly sold off, where it's bearishness. I think, you know, you look at leisure, retail, a lot of that area, a lot of sold off stocks there, some good businesses in there. But so let me know your stock picks for 2024, please. What are the fallers here on the FTSE 100? Let's have a quick check. JD. Now, JD isn't one of the all-time best performers. Fraser Group down, Croda, but BBT, John won't be happy with that. But JD's come out with a... let's have a look at the next updates. Let's look at the next updates here. Bear with me. Let me just get the right tab up here. Vox Markets. There we are. Next. Let's have a look at what they say, because it's very interesting on what they say. They do say one of the worries... So they are a 10 billion, ooh, I say, ladies, a 10 billion pound company, of course. And let's just scroll down. Trading statement. Full price sales during November and December have been better than we anticipated. In the 9 weeks to the 30th of December, full price sales were up 5.7% versus last year. £38 million better than our previous guidance of 2% for the period. So they've smashed the guidance by 3.7%. And they do say here, to increase. So sales beat. It's all very good there, isn't it? Guidance for group profit before tax for the year, ahead by 5%. It's very good. And look at that. These are weeks. Q4 full price performance by week. Here there. 10% of that. That is great. Down 2% in December. 17th. People, late week shoppers going in, jumping in there. It's odd here. They do say risk factors. They do say weakening employment market. Although rising wages are good for sales, it seems likely. Now, it's worth paying attention to this. And I think this is what's going to happen with the economy. I think there will be almost, you know, one more buying opportunity. By that, I don't mean a day of buying opportunity. I mean, you know, a few weeks or a month of buying where the market's become quite bearish. So they say, although the rising wages are good for sales, it seems likely that this will result in reduced employment opportunities in the wider economy. Vacancy rates in the UK have already fallen over the last 6 months, and if that trend continues, it is likely to result in increased unemployment. Of course, you know, what happens if you lose your job? Well, if you're normal, you're sensible, you tend to spend less. And you extrapolate that across, you know, what, several hundred thousand people? And of course, there's less people buying stuff in shops, less demand. And that has knock-on impact, of course, of then employers saying, we don't need all these employees. We're selling less. And so it's self-fueling. But I think what happens then, of course, is the central banks will step in because that will have a negative effect on inflation. I mean, bring inflation down. And then central banks say, right, we've won the war on inflation. And they'll reduce interest rates, which will make the markets rally by crazy. I don't know the exact timing of this. But I'm thinking maybe Q2, Q3, and the markets are off to races. So I think 2024 will be a blowout year. In fact, this is very interesting. Fixed rate mortgage deals will continue to expire and require financing at higher rates. That is true, but there's news out today. We'll cover that in a bit about mortgage rates coming down quite quickly. There's a bit of a mortgage war on, which will help. And people will still be refinancing at higher rates, but not as bad as they thought. And also supply chain risks. Difficulties with access to the Suez Canal, if they continue, are likely to cause some delays in stock deliveries in the early part of the year. Do you know what? We did look at the oil price earlier on. If you didn't check that, we're taking stock with Paul. Did look at the oil price, and it hasn't really rallied, which is odd. You must think there's some underlying weakness there. If it's not rallying, you know, in the problems of the Middle East, the Suez Canal and all this stuff, then that shows underlying weakness a little bit, doesn't it? Oversupply or lack of demand, of course, because two sides of that dynamic. But very interesting there. So let's go to the next chart. Then we'll go to JD. It's a tale of two retailers today. Maybe that should have been the theme there. A tale of two retailers, Next and JD Sports, both excellent performers. Let me type this in, never comes up. Next, there we go. Look at that for the chart there. If you'd have bought in the, you know, in the height, oh, there's 2022. Wow. In 2022, that's double again. Next, an elephant galloping. It's gone from the low, of course, these are lows, the highs. No one could pick these. But literally, 93% Next has done. From the low to the high from for just over a year. Where are we up to? It's in January now. Yeah, it's over a year. JD Sports. This is interesting. Like I said, when I was looking at you know, previous success stories on what to look for in companies, and it pretty much comes down to, you know, top line growth 20% year on year, pretty much, or above, and of course that falling through to, you know, net profits pretty much. This was one of those companies I looked at, and in fact, Boohoo is another one. So, but if you scroll back, look at this, JD Sports, going back to what? Is that 2p share? And they're up to £2.20. Phenomenal. And that is where I've looked at uptrends, higher highs, a lower high, down. But this now, gap down, whenever you see that, I wouldn't, you know, again, I would never necessarily jump in on a stock that's fallen, a fallen knife trade. Some of them work out. In the majority, they don't. They tend to think, okay, what's coming next? You get, sort of, like I said, good news follows good news pretty much, bad news follows bad news. And you may have, you know, further updates on weak trading coming forward. I can't see it being a blowout, you know, sales season in the next sort of 3, 6, 12, well, maybe next sort of big time is the next year, I suppose, or Christmas. I can't see people spending a lot this year. Can you? Having said that, these may recover before you think, you know, I mean, I'm not talking this week, but, you know, these bombed out sort of retail stocks, leisure stocks, maybe, they will recover before you think. Again, the same, go back to house builders. They tend to start recovering, you know, even before all the bad news is out there. You know, it's priced in pretty much. So let's have a quick look at what JD say, because they are saying, they do blame the weather a little bit, which is, you know, it's a go-to, isn't it? The weather. Problem with our business there. So for the 22 weeks to the 30th of December, constant currency organic revenue was 6% with like-for-like growth of 1.8. This was slightly behind our expectations. Apparel revenue growth was impacted by milder weather from the second half of September, while peak trading season across the market was softer and more promotional than we anticipated, reflecting more cautious consumer spending. Pay attention to these big guys, you know, because they have a lot of outlets. And like I said, they are a barometer of what's happening. With Next, it seems to do very well, but JD, not so much. We expect full-year organic revenue to be around about 8%. And they say the gross margin is coming down as well. Now estimate profit before tax and adjusted items between 915 and 935 million. That's amazing, isn't it? When you look at the markets, you look at some markets' name or what they're doing compared to these guys, but that's phenomenal. Okay, let's look. Fix. Mr. Steve says, all plenty of news coming, dirt cheap. That's, of course, Atlantic Lithium. You know, I do think they're ploughing along nicely. And like I said, I did chat to Neil about chatting to him a couple of times. This is, of course, in Ghana, they're starting their mine. What, it would be this time next year, pretty much? Or in Q1 2025? And you take into account that lithium mines, you know, can take anywhere from 10 to 15 years to get going. And, you know, there's predicted to be a lithium deficit by 2025. And, of course, this low price at the moment, lithium is going through a soft price period, discourages, you know, mines from coming online. And you can't just start them back up. You know, if you've mothballed a mine and they have got, you know, low-cost economics. So, I mean, they are pretty much profitable. You know, sub $1,000, whereas $600 all in sustaining costs. And of course, the lower that price goes, the more potential producers it'll take out of the market. The bigger the deficit, then what is going to happen is going to have a lithium price explosion, maybe. And of course, it'll be too late to bring mines back online, but they'll already be producing by then. Let's talk about the oil prices. And I do like the fact that Neil's buying, you know, a decent chunk of, so I last counted, at 22.5p. I think he's got about £1.8 million of stock in the company. The executive chairman, Neil, that is. I quite like that. But you see here, you know, it's a bit of a support level here. And it has dipped down recently, but not down to this. But it'd be nice to get above these previous highs, get above the 200 moving average and start moving. So I think it's a good call, you know, thematically as well. As specifically for the company. Okay, what else? Sorry, I didn't share the screen there. Remiss of me. So there we are. You see support level here. I tried to get above that. That's a good start. When a company tries to get above that and fails, it's not a bad thing. It tends to mean there's a, you know, higher low here, and you can see pretty much. You see these lows. We'll put the line on. There we are. You can see there, high or low, can't forget about that. And hopefully now the next, you know, high will be higher than the previous high. And then you see a start of an uptrend, hopefully. So, yeah, I think that's a good call. Good call there. What else is there? Anyone else? Informer, crap coins, no reason. I think Bitcoin's going to implode this year. I think the ETF hype around that will make Bitcoin implode. I mean, drop massively. And well, that's my reasoning. I just think I've seen this before. There was hype around Bitcoin ETF a while back, wasn't there? And it rallied and then it fell off a cliff afterwards. Okay. L-synced. Kefi. Although I feel like an idiot saying it, because it's valued at about NPV due to all delays, but there are reportedly no more hurdles, with only admin left to sort out and Ethiopia joined BRICS. Yet, I mean, it is an issue when you have operations in questionable jurisdictions or jurisdictions that are hard to deal with. Delays can carry on for ages. You'd be surprised. I mean, I was talking about Kefi, I think, getting this underway like 6-7 years back. There we are. Okay, keep them coming in. Your stock picks, please. Let's just quickly have a look at the front page of Fox here, see what's on the front page. By the way, if you haven't caught up with Paul Hill and mine, this is a chat there. Of course, Destiny Pharma, we'll talk about that. But Paul chats with Lung Life AI CEO Paul Pagano. Hey, Paul Pagano, you know what I'm saying? Hey, it's going to be a done deal. Yeah. I do like Lung Life AI. It's very liquid. I couldn't get it in my ISA, so I'd go elsewhere, but I'm out of that now. But I do think it could go very well, but there's plenty of time. Destiny Pharma is a bit, is it just me? This is, I've held Destiny for a little bit now. Is it just me? Or was this update almost conspicuous by the absence of anything sort of material? It depends, if you're a holder of this stock, you can see positives in there. If you're not, you think, well, there's nothing in there, is there? But I did sort of highlight this. I'm not sharing the screen here, am I? This is Paul Pagano, CEO at Lung Life. And like I said, Destiny Pharma here. It's almost like they can't say too much, can they? Once you invest in a stock, you are subjective. You tend to have confirmation bias, They did say here the company is, this is the XF73 is what it's all about, really. This is where I assume they're going to get a nice upfront payment. I think that's what they're haggling over. Okay. Maybe I'm reading too much into this. But you're talking about 2 billion sales in the US alone, for another billion in Europe. It's a big deal, So they say the company is evaluating all options to achieve this deal, including continuing discussions with a number of potential partners with a view to delivering the best deal to maximize shareholder value. So if they are in deal with the potential partners, plural, I'm assuming they're playing them off against each other. Well, they've offered us, this 5 million up front. Or they're offered 10 million, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50. Yeah. I'm not saying go that high, but we will provide a further update in due course. Now, what does that mean? It's kind of vague, isn't it? But you can say, that could be soon. I don't know. I'm reading too much into this, but I know. I do like the assets are great. The board is great. And potentially it's one of those hope pipe potential stocks that could transform your portfolio. Don't overexpose, because they're very high reward, very high risky, very high rewardy. Okay. But I do like that. It has come off a little bit today, isn't it? I think people are expecting maybe a deal done. Patience. Like I said, the most important thing when you're looking at a pre-revenue loss making stock is how much cash they have, how long will it last? And they've said there that, it's the company is funded through to Q1 2025. That's plenty of time. Get a good deal going, isn't it? Yeah. In fact, it's come back, it's recovered a bit. I do like this sort of, this trend here. Boom, up there. And stick to that. I quite like that. Done quite well from down here. What else is on the front page here of Vox? Let's have a look. Let's have a look at the writers and runners. Angle. biggest rise today, up 72%. They say, of course, C4XD rose yesterday on an upfront payment. Do you know what? Biotech, eh? Seems very active. And in fact, I think Chris Tovey is at the JP Morgan conference, isn't he? If he's in their social media. So Destiny is second most read. Angle done breakthrough clinical results. They provide a unique insight into the progression of each patient's cancer. Combined DNA, next-generation sequencing of CTCs, which is the same kind of technology that, well, I say it's the same kind of thing that Lung Life AI look for. And then, of course, that's mapped using AI, but circulating tumor cells. From ctDNA, the same blood sample highlights potential for Parsortix system to identify key variants. So anyway, it's looking good there. That's risen on that. What is the... I know it's been a bit of a... You know, it's been around for a while. And I know people were hyping about it a long time back. Look at that. Coming from 140 to 23 pence. How long has it been around for? Been around for a while, hasn't it? That's a heck of a drop off there, isn't it? And like I say, let me just take the 20-day moving average off. I often use that sometimes. Look at that. If you want to signal, you know, that's the way a downtrend has ended, maybe that's it. Hasn't touched that 20-day moving average since then. In fact, what happened back there? 25th of May, 2022. For some reason, they released that kind of... Now, they released news there, and it came back down. Of course, we are the start of a bear market there. Anyway, but... yeah. Front page. Vox, let's go down. Destiny, Clinio... Waste of time. Trufin. Okay, they're down, right? I hold Trufin. I honestly think this is going to be a blowout stock now for 2024. Satargo is really powering up. That, to me, is the sexy part of the business. It's used by two FTSE 100 companies. And like I said, if you created a software company and stated your goal, it probably would be to partner with a FTSE 100 company, like one of the biggest banks in the UK. They've done that, and they've done it with Sage, and they're probably doing it with other companies as well. So it says to me what they have in Satargo is best in class. Group revenue is going to be up by 32%. They've got money to get profitability, which is in 2025. And I think then it really starts powering ahead. So keep an eye on that, Trufin, okay? You know, it is in a downtrend at the moment, but keep an eye on it. We often hear best in class. How do you know it's best in class? Well, when the biggest players in the industry are using it, that's best in class. Otherwise, they do it themselves. You know, Lloyd's had their own software platform that they pretty much ripped out. And they're now using Trufin's, Satargo. Lloyd's Bank, huge, big. Okay, so, and that's why I like intelligent ultrasound as well. GE, the biggest manufacturer in ultrasound, are using intelligent ultrasound's product. Why? Because it's the best in class. Full stop. That's it. Didn't go by people on, you know, X or Twitter telling you that the product's best in class. Go by the big guys who are using it. They wouldn't be using it otherwise. Simple as. Anyway, that's my two rants. And Silver Bullet. That also as well is going to be massive. Okay. Dagger. EasyJet. Oversold, but all the airlines are. On another note, there is a $3 trillion being held in cash in the US. I can't see this going into bonds. Yeah. That is the dynamic, isn't it? That is, you know, if you think about it, what's going to happen? You know, mortgage rates are coming down, and people are now saying the Bank of England are going to reduce interest rates faster and sooner than thought previously. When that happens, you've got to question why they're going to do that. I don't just think it's because the inflation's steadily coming down and the economy's okay. It's not going to be because of that. It's because there's worrying signs in the economy, and that will bring down inflation. It's lack of demand. It's economics 101, you know. When demand drops, you know, then the prices come down pretty much. Supply stays the same, supply is reduced. So it literally, it will have to be because of that. But let's look at the EasyJet chart. EZJ. Well, that's a messy chart. It is like literally, you know, if there's planes trying to land in high gale force winds. It's like that, isn't it? Literally, can, I wouldn't know what to do with that. I mean, you'd have to just buy that on sort of value, but like say, you know, what's the best way? Wasn't that joke about airlines? The best way of making 10 million bucks in the stock market, invest 100 million in airlines. Isn't one of the things that Warren Buffett always avoids, pretty much? So they do have this, you know, dissected year, don't they, where they make a loss first half. So, yeah, I wouldn't know, you know, looking at value maybe, but that's a messy-looking chart. But no, you're right. Money inflow into the markets. That's what it comes down to. That's what charts are about. It's money in and outflow. And money inflow, is, you know, as we know, money outflow has been happening for a while, you know. And in fact, let me just show that a good example of this is... That's all the market's about. It's when it comes down to it, that is what moves markets. Money inflow and outflow. Now, if you overlay, you know, the bond yields, then pretty much bonds have been going up and markets have been coming down, okay? And then, like I said, you know, if you are taking a 50% loss on a stock on AIM, why would you continue to hold when you can just get 5% in safest assets or safest holdings, investments ever, you know, government bonds or a savings account? So safe. Once that flips and almost your saving rate starts going down and you see stocks rallying by 20, 30%, what are you going to do? Oh, I'm happy with my 3%. Yes. No. There's very few people that will hold on there. And like I said, look at this. It's in fact, it's quite interesting. The AIM All Share has rolled over. That's a good start, though. It's now under the 200-day moving average. Maybe this thing is playing out that I said. This gloominess in this quarter will play out, and then it'll tick back up. What we'd like to see now, is a low in AIM that is not obviously down below this. It'd be nice to see if it's rolled over around here and back up. This will take these. I mean, if you measure these moves, they are like, you know, a month, 2 months, 3 months. So you see a month of overhaul and then a rally towards ISA season, actually, when people dip on more money than ISA end of financial year. Any other thoughts on stocks? Yes, Mr. Steve. SED, major contracts in and more coming. Just need to deliver on them now. Yeah. What's the thoughts on cash there, though, with Sieta? That's what I'm worried about. Manufacturing, you know, heavy-duty manufacturing is not cheap. That's it. Again, stick it in your head. Loss-making companies. How much cash they got? How much is going to last? How long is it going to last? How much? How long? How much? How long? I did like Sieta. I know brokers have now pulled their sort of forecasts for a while, I think. But, it's a horrible-looking chart, isn't it? Flatlining here. Hopefully they'll land a big contract. They'll push that up. But, Sorry, Mr. Steve, my money's elsewhere. Next data to explain the numbers is really clear each time they report. Yeah, they are very good. Nice little graphs. Next. That's it, isn't it? If a big company like Next can produce, you know, a trading update, it's clear to read like that. And let's be honest, it's a big operation. Lots of numbers, lots of data points, but they can present it nicely. And I read some of these companies on AIM. They got one operation, and I can't understand what they're talking about. And if you can't explain it to me, I don't want to know about it, you know. You got one job, pretty much. All hit last year by dodgy short attack and lithium price drop. Yes, I bought future on the drop at £6.03. It's Alan I'm now up 33% at £8.4 today in less than a month. So quality stocks, Eurobond. I bought JD at 117 this morning, and I'm patient, wait for a rebound. Yeah, well, do you know what? I think, Alan, in quality companies, when you see almost that, you know, aggressive sell-off on a trading update, I didn't think it was that bad with, you know, the future, pretty much. I think, I mean, you've got shorts and all that in there, of course. Maybe that is the time you can do it, you know, the falling knife trade. I wouldn't do it on loss-making companies where the finances are questionable. But on, you know, cash-generating companies, like I say, as long as you're not going too big, take a small position, you can average up over time. You can average in over time, you know. But taking that initial small position helps you keep an eye on it a bit, I suppose. Let's look at JD. Or Future. Future actually, it's looking good. Good in the chart. It really is. Well, I say really. I say it's looking good. I put an alert in here because this is pretty much, you can see on this 8, 8, 10, 8, 8. That's previous support here, pretty much, and then it breaks down. And you can see here previous resistance on Future. And like I said, the advertising market will be turning, you know, and these are sort of bellwether of this. And I assume they get growth back. It's funny, isn't it? Everyone talks about, oh, they'll never get it back. They never have growth again. That's it. Scroll forward about 2 or 3 years, and the business is performing again. And you kick yourself thinking, why did I believe the doomsayers, the gloommongers, who said this will never recover? Because they're always wrong. Always wrong. I see people on their Twitter, these perma-bears all the time. I thought, do you know what? The odds are stacked against you. You can go back as far as you want on the markets, you know, and over time the markets rise. But yet every day you're hammering the markets. You're only ever going to be right. Well, 1 in 5 years is a bear market or something. 1 in 10 years. There's no point being a bear constantly. It doesn't earn you any money. You know, it's really hard to short as well. But yeah, I think it's quite nice. It's getting closer to the 200-day moving average. Convincingly, you've got to have the, I think, to be convinced this trend has started, to be sure, I think the golden cross has got to happen. And like I said, whenever it's done this before, 50-day, it's not far. So that share price has to get above 50-day, above 200-day. That'll drag the 50-day up. And then, whoosh, but you're already in profit, Alan. So then's the time maybe to, I don't know how much you got in there, but if you're not overexposed, maybe start thinking about putting some more in. JD as yet, I don't know where that's going to go. It may drop a bit further. They may have another bad update. It may get cheaper, you know. But who knows? It's early days yet. But I mean, in the future, they've had quite a few updates now. And literally, like I said, this low, it did dip down below, punch back above. And so you could safely say the bottom's in, probably. Doesn't mean the uptrend started. It could just bump along the bottom up and down, nice range for a while. But it's a company I do like. You know, it's like this cracking margins. The value is good now. What is it? PE5. That's never happened. It's a good company. Yeah, so, and also lots of liquidity. I don't care how big a trader you are. You can jerk £1 million into that and out in a day. You know, so there's none of this liquidity problems with microcaps, nanocaps. So if you put your entire house, your mortgage on it, and it starts going the wrong way, you can get out quickly. Not saying you should ever do that. It's a silly thing to do. I'm just saying liquidity is there. Anik, short-term goals, share buyback, precision, fundamental, dog food, Liberation Labs. Yeah, I was into agronomics before, but I do question investment companies, really. How do they return value to the share? I suppose if one of the businesses do well. Let's have a look. In fact, it's been so long. What's the... Hang on a second. Don't get too excited here. Let me just take this line out. This line. If you're not aware of agronomics, by the way, it's an investor. It stakes in very much, you know, I suppose lab-grown meat, all these new-age kind of, you know. To me, it works. I honestly think in 10 years' time, you'll be buying meat in the supermarkets, same price which is from the lab, which is better for you, better for the environment, and it's, of course, ethically, you know, good for you as well. Because why would you then want to, if unless you want to support farmers, of course, but why would you then want to buy meat that's been killed from an animal when no animals want to die, do they? You know, they don't, those animals don't walk themselves into slaughterhouses. So if you can buy, you know, ethically good meat, and you know, it's good for the environment, it's actually better for you because there's no antibiotics, all that kind of stuff in it, I think you would. So I do think there's a huge trend here. That's worth a watch, though. Look at that. Because that is pumped now above that tuna day. And as you often get, you get an aggressive rise from an oversold position, comes back, and then has another go. So if you can get above that previous high of 11 pence, I'm going to put an alert on that. Why am I getting lots of things? Oh, look at this. Economists predict, I can't see that on my thing. This is quite interesting because I got an alert on my watch, but it's about, economists predict when interest rates will hit 3%, how to retire abroad with UK pension. Celebrity chef forced to close restaurant. That's Sky News money blog. I don't know. When will it hit 3%, then? Oh, I don't know. They're asking. But there we are. I'm going to put an alert on there. 11 pence. Did I put that on then? 11 pence alert. So, it may be a good rally there. Who knows? Yes. I'll have to look into it fundamentally. But recent high. There are lots of alerts going off. Anything else? Yeah, I know they raised 6.7 end of November. Did they say something like, am I wrong? Did they say how much longer it would last? I don't know. 7.1 finally. Dagger. IQAI is looking interesting again. It was in this stock. I was in this stock for 4 years when it went on a rally. And it hit by lack of IPOs of their holdings recently. Okay. I fancy Biotrol, a similar profile to Tristel. Yeah, I don't think... doesn't Tristel have a bit more IP, I think? Tristel wasn't... I haven't looked at Tristel for a while, but it wasn't cheap. Reversed its September profit forecast and CEO left, but projections still hold. Interesting. Okay. IQAI. Let's look at the chart there, IQAI. I'll try to quickly look at some other IQAI. It's on a bit of an upturn there. That's good, that. You know, typical example there. I've talked before, but don't initially jump in on a spike of the 200-day moving average, even though it was a nice spike, because it often comes back. And literally, it's followed that 200-day moving average. Let's go to the 50. And look at that. Nice rise. Almost cup and handle. Up again. That's good, that. Good looking chart. Biotrol. It's almost like... Oh, hang on. What's this? Guild. Oh, recent high. That's Guild. There's quite a few highs happening. Oh, it's horrible looking. What's Biotrol's market cap then? Biot. Let's have a look at the fundamentals here. 3.5, is it really? Half year report. Let's have a look. Headline product sales 2.2. EBITDA loss of how much cash they got? Cash in bank. Ugh. Yeah, but they haven't got any cash. That's the worrying thing. You know, they're loss making and they haven't got any cash. So, yeah, they literally, you know, so have they raised any? No. Okay. So I'd be careful on the cash level there. Yes. Anything else? So said end of March 2024, by which time the company is expecting to announce a number of major commercial developments. Well, hopefully they do. Yeah, yeah. That's plenty of IPs, profits, change things. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Supreme from Steve and UPGS, both looking good. Yeah, Supreme is, you know, fundamentally, it's a good value, but like I said, the regulatory pressure is holding that, suppressing that, I suppose. Upserve Global. Haven't they changed their name now? Because that was an awful name. Haven't they changed their name? UPG. I've never been convinced, really. But Ultimate Products, they've called themselves now, yeah. Upserve Global. You often wonder, didn't you? Why, you know, Upserve Global. What's that supposed to mean? Buy a troll? Sounds like you are buying a troll. Make it more consumable. More appealing. EBIT purchase. Audit results. So look. Record revenue, 166 million. That's always good to see that. And you see a record of stuff being broken. That's very good. Let's see that. Adjusted EBITDA, 20 million. What is this for? This is for a year ended. Yeah, 20 million. So adjusted EBITDA, 25. It's adjusted. It's what, five times? Seems decent, doesn't it? That's for a guild. Oh, there we are. Look at that. Recent high in guild. Breaking 200-day moving average. It's a lot of this happening, isn't it? Companies who are way off breaking the 200-day moving average are now breaking the 200-day moving average. That suggests to me the market is turning, you know, for the good. UPGS. Ultimate products. There we are. ULTP, it's now called. Yeah, it's okay. A little bit messy, but it's trying to rally. Cool. All right. Is it some others? I think. Let's look a quick look on Vox front page here. What's that? E-Energy report steady progress in ESG initiatives. Well, that's good. That's good. I'm glad of that. Landor down. RJD down. Biggest rise is they. Anglo News. Nothing for Verditech. Oh, Techmar Group, by the way. I did hold these for a while. They're a bit worried about the debt. 16 million, right? New contract award. Essentially, they supply, wind farms, all that stuff, all the subsea cabling protection and all that stuff. So there's a lot of that around. We have the biggest offshore wind farms in the world, pretty much. But look, this is a contract here. Initial phase of 3.5 million. What I quite liked about this, it was under the radar, but... interim results, new contract award, revenue of 17 million. So, they are literally, 16 million market cap. So, half on them sales. They do have, they did go through a period of worry, but two people stepped in and did convertible loan notes. Now they are directors. So, it's not too bad if you've got convertible loan notes, by directors, because of course they have an interest in the share price of the company. If generally, convertible loans are provided to the company by a third party, and that's their business. They don't really care about the business, the listed company's business. They just get their money out as fast as possible, and so the share price tanks. But it could be worth a look here. Record order book here. They're saying 40 million for the year. They're saying top line. So it's quite interesting. Techmar. Do your own research, everyone. There's like I said, they did go through issues recently, and it's come down from 150. I did buy some here. I think it broke 200 a day. I bought some. I just got out. I wasn't that convinced. I just didn't have confidence in it, really. But I think, could do well because they've got a lot of contracts, and it's looking very good. But it's worth a look. Is there anything else? Anything else? It's a vast the fallers here. JD. Look at that. One of the biggest fallers is JD. Stock market darling. They'll turn around though. Okay. I'd be banging on, am I? Here we are. Top business stories. Average mortgage rate lowest for nearly 7 months. It's going the right way. Fallen is low level in 7 months. Falling from 5.92 to 5.87 in a day. Doesn't seem big, but it's in a day, I suppose, it's in the right direction. Major lenders such as Halifax, HSBC have begun a year with rate cuts to keep hold of their customers as their own funding costs have dropped. There we are. Their own funding costs have dropped. Bonds yield dropping. This is Alice from Personal Finance at Best Invest. The mortgage market may be heating up, but this won't fully ease the pain for roughly 1.6 million existing borrowers with cheap fixed rate deals expiring this year. But that is that issue. Still, there's still some people coming off these mortgages that'll have to rein in their spending. So you may have high unemployment and also people reining in spending from higher mortgage costs. They still face heavy jump in interest rates payments, but wasn't as bad as before. PMI is good. Services sector, we are, of course, a service sector economy. About 80% of our economy is service sector. So Britain's services firms grew more strongly in December than initially thought. And the optimism hit the seven-month high, according to a survey. We welcomed news for Prime Minister Rishi Sunak, who is expected to hold an election later this year. So they came in, the PMIs came in at 53.4 in December. Of course, above 50 is growth. It's higher since June, up from 50.9 in November, and a preliminary reading of 52.7. That's a big jump, actually. Look at this. FTSE 100 bosses earn UK average salary in 3 days. By 1 p.m., was it today, they'll have earned £34,963, which is the annual median wage for full-time workers. That's £1,170 per hour, 109 times the average full-time worker. They're on about 3.8 million a year. Yes, but are they happy? Bloody right. That is unbelievable, isn't it? It is. That's a lot of money. 34 grand on the 4th of January at 1 p.m. And then time for lunch, then. Lunchtime. Wow. Okay. Thank you very much for tuning in. Biotron has plenty of IPs, profits that will change things. Plexus has the best ticker, POS, yeah. Andrew says NYSC Crocs is a table slamming valuation. What do Crocs do? Crocs, you mean Crocs isn't the Crocs shoes? No, you mean that, do you? No. I tell you what, Crocs are great. I love Crocs. Is Paul Mill getting over 3 million, Justin? Yeah, I don't think he's a FTSE 100 boss, is he? But I think he'd like to be. But who wouldn't? Let's be honest, just delegate. Good bosses just delegate. So do that, sort that, do that. Anyway. Thank you very much. John's here tomorrow. Of course, it's a Friday. It's a short week. And we'll be doing a screener. So rubber clog. So Crocs. Oh, okay. I love Crocs. I could wear them everywhere, the Crocs. I've got now rainbow-coloured Crocs. You know, it's nothing to do with LGBTQ plus or anything. I just like the colour. They're quite funky. They're brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. You can wear for years and years. So people say rubber, you know, it's not good for the environment. They are. They don't wear out. Well, the grips wear out a bit. My old ones, I slip around like crazy on them. But I love Crocs. Thank you very much, everyone. And don't forget, hit that thumbs up button. And by the way, your stock picks, by all means, use my website, championinvestor.co.uk. Put your picks on there. I want to get more people into investing. If you know anyone who's an economics A-level student or that level or even younger and they want to learn about investing, just go there. You know, just have a competition with them. That's how I got involved. And I think just gamifying it a bit. Sow the seed early. There's so much rubbish I was taught in schools. Absolute nonsense. I will never, ever use. Investing has been invaluable to me. I'm so thankful to my A-levels economics teacher who started that competition. So it really got me into it. But if you know anyone who wants to get involved in investing or know any A-level economics teachers to pass it around their students, it's free to take part. It's just a bit of fun to learn about investing. And don't forget, download the Vox Markets app. It's free as well. That's invaluable. voxmarkets.co.uk/app. Thank you very much. Speak to you tomorrow. Don't forget to like and subscribe and share. Thank you. Bye.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.